Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another lesson learned episode of Not Your Average Lives. And I gotta make sure I get this podcast episode in quickly because we have two gentlemen coming over this evening, and they're going to be spending the next, I think, three nights at my house. My husband's in his member guest golf tournament that starts tomorrow. And the bad news is that a hurricane is coming our way. And although we won't get the hurricane, we'll get a lot of rain. And rain and golf don't mix well. So the poor guys, I mean, the member guest, people come in from out of town. So there are a lot of people coming in from out of town. And so tomorrow, it's supposed to start raining in the afternoon. And I think on Saturday, it's going to be heavy. But they say, as long as it doesn't lightning, as long as it's not thunderstorms, are going to continue to play. So my husband is going to be wet, very wet. But it'll be fun. So there's a big dinner dance on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to. So let me get to the subject, the lesson that I learned this week. And I was inspired by this example, an example I'm going to share with you. I was inspired by a meditation I did. And let me explain. So last week's lessons learned, I talked about being present. I think that was last week. But if it's not, it was in the last 2 weeks. So I think it was last week. It was about being present and talking about my beach trip. And when I talked about how important it is to be present and how being present really allows us to be in the moment and connected, not only to the people that are around us, but also to ourselves. And especially if you're alone, then obviously it's with yourself. And being present is so important to do, regardless of with people or alone. It's very important. And so one of the tools I use to get into the present moment is meditation. And I'm not a huge meditator. People think, oh, I don't know how to do that, or it's complicated, or I don't have the patience, or whatever excuse. If you're not meditating and you are coming up with these, what could be blocks to keeping you from using it as a tool to get in the present moment, then you're just shutting off those possibilities. And so if you're not getting in the present moment, find a tool. And if you're resistant to meditation, try guided meditation, because that's what I do. I make it simple. I'm not a meditation expert. I just know that it's important to get quiet and to have that time. And it de-stresses you too, because a guided meditation guides you through how to breathe. If your mind starts to wander, which it does when you meditate, especially when you're new at it or you're not a master at it, which I'm not, and my mind wanders a lot. And people think, oh, I failed. Well, you didn't fail, because you
you realized your mind was wandering. And so that's being very present. And so I like the guided meditations, especially the Calm app. And I like Tamara Leavitt. She's the person, she's kind of the main meditator on there, but although they have a lot of different people now. But one of the things, she does these 10-minute a day meditations, and she always has a message at the end. And so the one that I was listening to this morning inspired me to share an experience, because it's something, the message that she shared was resonated. And it's something that I should have done with my husband earlier in the week. So let me explain to you what happened. So I got a new desk and I love my new desk. I found it on Amazon. I actually put it in my monthly newsletter as one of my favorite things. So if you're not on my newsletter list, you should get on it. But you can certainly email me as well and ask me what my desk is. So I saw a desk at Costco, and that is what gave me the idea of getting a standing desk. Now I have a standing desk that goes up and down, but it's manual. It's not really electric. So you have this little lever and you kind of pull it up and push it down and pull it up and push it down. But it's very small. It's not a desk and it rolls. So it's not a desk that you'd really sit at all day long. And so I wanted to find a good functional desk. Now that I have my new corporate job, that I'm working remote from home. And the little one that I had is now really a grooming table I use for my dog. So the desk I found, and I'm one of those people that likes wood. I like the wood look, kind of cabins and beams and ceilings and that. And so it's a rustic wood desk. And you can push a button and it goes up, so you can stand at it, and you can push a button and it can go down. And so I did some research, looked at a lot of different desks on Amazon, and I chose this one. And it didn't come, although you could pay to have it, somebody come put it together for you. I was like, I can put it together myself. And I read the reviews, and somebody even said it was super easy to put together, and it took like an hour and a half. So I was like, I can do that. I put the little one together, so I can do this one. Now it had a lot more pieces, a lot more screws, a lot more things, but I was able to get it, put it together. I was very proud of my accomplishment. And then my daughter and son-in-law, I was hurrying to get it done, because they were on their way and to spend the weekend with us. And the desk is in the room where one of my grandsons sleeps. So I was like, I need to get this up. I can't have it all apart in pieces. So I put the desk together and got it up. And my daughter gets there. I'm like, look at my new desk. And she's like, oh, well, you did these backwards. And it was this part of the desk where there's kind of two parts to wood sometimes, and one part's rough edge and one part's kind of the finished edge. So my rough edge was exposed. So when you sit at the desk, you see these rough edges instead of the finished wood. And so I was like, oh my God, it's like, yeah, I got to take it apart. That's going to take, the problem is that when you put it together, it was upside down. And so you never really stood it up to look at it as if you were sitting on it until you were done putting it together with the legs on it. And then you get the legs on and you put it up and you look at it and you're like, And all of the things were very well labeled, I must say. However, this one piece, when I looked back at the directions, there was a very slight little in the diagram where it said, it pointed the ends and it said, I can't remember what it said, but it was something like stained, or it didn't say finished side, I don't think, but it wasn't real clear and it was very easy to overlook. So what happened is, of course, my husband knew, he wasn't involved in the construction of it. I didn't ask for his help, although he would have willingly done it. And so he, you know, he heard that I had made a mistake, and I showed him what the mistake was, and I was going to fix it. I was going to get and fix it. So Sunday he golfs. They had left on Sunday afternoon. I hadn't gotten to fixing it yet. And I was like, oh, I'll fix it next week. It wasn't a big urgent thing. The desk was functional. I could use the desk with that problem. So I was fine. So I'm sitting at my couch on on Sunday evening, and I realize he's been gone for a while. And then I hear him like scream. Clearly something happened to him that hurt. It was one of those screams, probably a cuss word involved. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that he was probably in there fixing my desk. He was probably in there cleaning up after my mistake. And so I went in there, and he had dropped, it's a very heavy desk, and he had dropped the desk on his second toe, not his big toe, but his second toe. And it did not look good. And so my immediate reaction was like, why are you doing this? Why did you not ask for help? Well, of course he wanted to go in there and do something nice for me and surprise me. And I got on him because he had been to the 19th hole after golf and had had a couple beers. And so I was like, you shouldn't, first of all, be doing this when you've had a couple beers. And so he was insistent that he was fine. And I said, yeah, you're fine, but you'd be better if you did this without two beers. But it was so funny because I immediately, like, I reacted in not a very nice way. I mean, it wasn't like all warm and fuzzy, like you're doing this nice thing for me. It was criticism that why did you come in here and do this? And why did you not tell me? Cause I could have helped you and then you wouldn't have hurt your toe. And a part of me even was like, I did this. I put this together. I want to fix it. It was like, I want to fix it. And he didn't even know how it was put together. And he wasn't referring to the instructions. He was just like looking at it and figuring it out just by looking at it. So I was jumping to conclusions that he didn't know what he was doing because he wasn't reading the instructions because he didn't do it my way. And so I fortunately caught myself as, you know, because I was interjecting myself and I was like, I'll help you do this. There was also some weird, he said he would have figured it out, but there was this, I had never seen this before where I don't even know how to explain it, but there was these little circular discs that you insert in these holes and you twist them 180 degrees to latch them into a screw that you had previously screwed in. And I'd never seen anything like that. And so I asked him, I said, do you know what these are? Would you know what to do? And he's like, no, but I could figure it out. So that was how the conversation went. So instead of being supportive and thankful and grateful and how nice of you, honey, I was like, why are you doing this? Why didn't you tell me? Jumping in his, you know what? So I felt really bad. I decided to recognize his effort. And plus he was bleeding. His toe was bleeding. And I was like, you know what? He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't mean to drop the desk on his foot. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, his golf tournament, he's not going to be able to walk. Did he break his toe? And then I said, I'm so appreciative that you did this for me. I recognize that you came in here to do a good deed, and I wasn't being very nice. But you know, I think the important thing is, well, get into the present moment, realize what you're doing, right? Instead of like, because the mind goes to what could have happened, what you know, the past, it's over with, it's done, you can't do anything about it. So accept it and just be in the present moment. But I was like, why'd you do this? And then like, you could have hurt yourself. And that's future thinking. So I caught myself, fortunately, and he was so much happier with the recognition, right? Aren't we all, once we get recognized for something, even if it didn't go the way we wanted it to, it kind of went wrong. Yeah. So he was trying to go in there and do a surprise for me, and it kind of backfired. So we got the desk all together and it looks beautiful. I'm so happy. Now when I look at it, I don't see the raw edges. I see the finished edges. But my meditation today was so perfect as a lesson. And if only I had heard this before that happened, might not have followed it, but but maybe it would have come to mind, especially if it was fresh. But I'm going to type these up and put them by my desk as a frequent reminder. But Calm message, Calm app message by Tamara Levitt. I always like these messages because I usually save them and put them on my stories to share because they're so good. So there's usually a photo with a quote, and it's part of what the message is that she says at the end of the meditation. But the quote, and I'll explain what it means in a second, the quote is a Rumi quote, and Rumi has great quotes. You've probably heard some of his quotes before. It is, quote, "Before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. At the first gate, ask yourself, is it true? At the second gate, ask, is it necessary? At the third gate, ask, is it kind?" End quote. So I loved that. I also love the photo, which I'll show. If you're on my YouTube channel, you can see it. It's just a beautiful landscape kind of photo. But I was thinking about, like, I immediately thought of that incident. I immediately thought of that experience of where I did not go through these three gates. I did not ask these three questions. And in retrospect, I was thinking, you know, how would I have answered those, and what would have been the outcome? But I think when you ask yourself these three questions, most of the time, your reaction is going to be different. You won't say what you were going to say, or you won't do the things that you were going to do. And so these three questions are really invaluable to creating and ensuring you have better relationships. You have higher quality relationships. So I was thinking, is it true? Is it true? Well, is what true? I guess in this scenario, is it true that he shouldn't have done that? Well, I guess it's in the context, right? If is it true he shouldn't have done that? Well, he did it for good reasons. So maybe you shouldn't have done it without help, or maybe, but, and again, that's my perception. His perception was, I was fine. I could do it myself. And even though he had a hurt toe, he was still glad he did it himself. So is it true? Yeah, that's a perception in many cases. Is it necessary? Was it necessary for me to, like, get on him about he shouldn't have done that? No, it wasn't necessary because it was over. It was over. And it's not going to teach him anything in the future because he's still going to be stubborn, and he's still going to try and do things that probably I wouldn't do if, you know, I was put in the same situation. I'm a help asker. I ask for help. But for some reason, I don't think guys normally do that. And he is certainly somebody who doesn't do it. He's like, I'll do it myself. So my initial comments were not necessary at all. And in a way, I wish I could take him back because I didn't want him to feel bad about helping me. And sometimes you think about it, doing that, is that going to make him want to help me in the future? He'll think twice, right? So, and then the third one, is it kind? No, I don't think it was kind. It was more about me getting my thoughts out, trying to my opinion on, you know, you should ask me first. It's my desk. I put it together, so I should fix it. You know, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The point is, I wanted it the right way. I wanted it fixed. I wanted it like, so the stained wood was on the front. You know, that was the goal. That was the main goal. And so, yeah, it wasn't kind to criticize him for trying to do what I wanted, what the goal was, to have a pretty desk that didn't have a mistake. That's what I get for trying to put things together by myself. So anyways, I just thought this was really profound to me when I heard it and immediately related it to just a recent experience. And I thought, this is something I should share. It's a lesson I learned. I need to like ask these two questions. Like when, and I recently had talked about the carpets in the bathroom where the carpets were inching away from the cabinet. If you didn't hear that episode, that was probably two or three episodes ago, but they were inching away. And I thought it was him that he was kept moving the carpets. And is it true? Well, I thought it was true, but it wasn't true. So always question first, is it true? Or is it just like, is it my perception of the truth? And is it necessary? Do you really need to say that? And if you do say it, you know, is it just for you, for your benefit? Or is it going to be helpful to them? And then is it kind? Because we want to go with kindness. If it's somebody we love, don't we want to be kind? And kindness reaps kindness. So that's so important too, because if this question comes up and you check the kind box, then it's karma. Kindness will come back to you. And sometimes we forget that, just trying to get our point across. So that's my lesson for the week. Hope it helped you. And remember those three questions and try meditating if you don't do it, because it is awesome. And if you do guide it, it's so much easier. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to be perfect. Like sometimes I feel like, oh, I failed at that meditation because my mind wandered. No, guided meditation, she'll get you back. She'll ring the little bell and bring you back. So it's very helpful. All right. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.